With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Think you know the Brooks Ghost? Think again. Introducing the all-new, better-than-ever Ghost 16. Now with nitrogen-infused cushioning for lightweight, supreme softness that feels good every step, every street, every single day. So go ahead, take your daily joyride in the all-new nitrogen-infused Ghost 16. It'll turn your everyday miles into everyday endorphins. Let's run there. Head to brooksrunning.com to learn more.
Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And remember to include the name The Scoreless Thriller Podcast in your application. Thank you.
Man there trying to stop Grover getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Oh, it's not a bad ball for Pelle on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was. Carlos Alberto.
Maradona just walked away from Huddle then. Maradona.
Met de balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal. Heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan. Dennis Bergkamp.
Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp.
Oh! Frank de Boer speelt de bal naar Dennis Bergkamp. Die neemt de bal feilloos aan. En hij schiet de bal erin.
Hello and welcome to a very sweaty edition of the Scoreless Thriller Podcast. I'm joined as always by Leon. Leon, how are you doing?
It's quite hot. Very happy to be here.
And we've got two special guests joining us again. We've got Colwyn back again.
Hello, thanks for having me back.
And Rob, fresh from his excellent performance on his debut last week, is returning again.
Hello, happy to be back.
Woo! So this week on the podcast, we're discussing a game which has gone down in sort of infamy as the Battle of Nuremberg.
The Massacre of Nuremberg.
Yeah, massacre feels a bit more apt than battle,
yes.
Which was an extremely sort of brutal game, but also probably the most enjoyable game for us to watch that we've had so far.
Yeah, I was super excited. I loved it. Very dynamic, very physical, all good.
What was the word that you used to describe it when we were watching?
A wild frenzy.
It was like a wild frenzy though, because it was like no sort of let up in the action whatsoever. There was either somebody having a shot, some horrific challenge. It was just constant. It was sort of someone playing like an Xbox game, just constantly forcing at each other. And
yeah,
stuff.
Fouled shots, emotions. Yeah. So many of them.
Everything you would want from a World Cup game.
And a good World Cup match. It's true though, I loved it, yeah.
So to celebrate this week's game being a sort of celebration of brutality...
Now you're pushing it.
on this week, we're discussing red cards, and sort of after the break, we're going to jump into the quiz. So the format for this week's quiz is going to follow the same as last week's, where it's everyone else against me. But now there's three of you, so I feel like after losing last week, you'll do pretty badly if you lose again this week.
Didn't we lose?
Yeah, you lost.
Oh, two. Yeah,
it was close.
Yeah, it was close. We were good.
Yeah, we went to the last question and you decided, which was all about like massive scores, and then you decided to answer for the number of goals in the second half as zero.
Oh, it was a very strategic pick, though. We had our reasons. If you want to know reasons, go back, listen to the last podcast.
It was not.
I feel it was very thought through.
No, but clearly it was not the least logical thought through.
It was the least logical.
Yeah, it was almost illogical.
Rob, come on, support me here. It felt very logical at that point.
It's in the past. Let's move on.
He's got the mind of a footballer, you know.
Yeah.
That game was last week. That quiz was last week.
Pivoting.
This week is
pivoting, man.
This is about my performance today.
This week is a new quiz.
Go, we're ready.
All right, so there's seven questions. How did Maximo Banguera, the goalkeeper for the Ecuadorian team Barcelona Sporting Club, tried to escape from a red card in 2015. A, he claimed that one of his teammates had committed the foul. B, he kept running away from the referee. C, he ran to the touchline and tried to substitute himself. Or D, he pretended to be knocked out.
He definitely ran.
I want him to play with a substitute.
He definitely ran.
I also think it would be quite impressive if he tried to blame someone else for the foul, given that he's a goalkeeper, so he's got a completely different shirt.
What's this substituting himself business? I don't really understand how that would work.
Well, I guess you could just run over to the touchline and just sit down, and then the referee.
That's what happened. Are you describing what happened?
No. I'm giving no clues this week. Going all in.
Okay, Corbin, you make the call.
Oh no!
Substitution or just chicken run?
I think it's more funny. I think it's a more weird one if he tried to substitute himself. I've never seen anyone try.
More weird?
That.
How is it not weird to run from a red card? That's hilarious. I absolutely love it.
I don't know how much how you're defining run. Like if he just tries to
behind other players.
But
and
you see that
run away.
That definitely happens a lot. Like people just try and hope the ref forgets. I think I want to go with he subbed himself.
There was a FIFA game in the 90s, I think, where if you committed a foul, you could just literally run around the pitch and try and stay away from the referee, and then they would not be able to book you.
Yeah, because the game mechanic waited until the ref got to you. Yeah.
They didn't program the referees quick enough, that was the problem.
I don't know. I think it's funny if he tried to substitute himself.
Okay.
Here we go. You're going for the substitution?
Log it in.
Okay,
I can tell you that you are wrong. The correct answer is that he pretended to be knocked out.
Okay.
For how long?
Banguera lay on the ground for 90 seconds, but that didn't stop the referee from brandishing a red card.
It's also such a poor attempt. I mean, what does he think happens? The referee just goes away at one point or what?
Maybe pity.
Oh, okay.
I think you see it when a player's injured and the ref is a bit more lenient and they'd hope that they just forget about it.
Yeah, if they get injured in the foul.
Being knocked out pushes it a bit though, right?
Yeah, that's true.
That's a bit much.
Yeah.
Okay, question number two.
Sorry, guys.
Why was Ashley Vickers, the Dorchester Town player manager, sent off against Havant and Waterlooville in 2011? A, he kicked the ball against the referee, knocking him over. B, he substituted himself without telling any of the officials. C, he wrestled a mankini-clad pitch invader to the ground. Or D, he was given two yellow cards, both for time-wasting.
Okay.
Oh. Well, if you came up with the mankini one, I like it. That's funny.
Yeah, I didn't know who would get sent.
Remember when we watched the last match? Yeah. And then Ricardo was playing for time. And Alex said that you're never going to get two yellow cards for playing on time twice.
Yeah.
So either he planned this to incept this idea into our heads that this will never happen so that we get this wrong.
Yeah.
Or
he was helping,
yeah.
I do take winning this quiz very seriously, so maybe.
I can't take all the pressure this time.
Nah.
What was the first one again?
He kicked the ball against the referee.
Right, you're not going to send off for that because that just can happen, right? Oh, unless it was
out
of play.
Well, Fabregas got a yellow card for it, but he kicked it against another player rather than the referee, though.
Okay. Okay, so that's a possible.
I feel like subbing the most, him, the most likely one is that he wrestled someone to the ground who was on the pitch.
I don't think you would get sent off for that, because
I think
depends.
I saw it in a rugby match once, and the person ran on just got rugby tackled by one of the players. I think that would have been much of a shock. But
okay, then what's your answer then, Rob? What do you want to go with?
A. I think we go with A.
Okay.
Kicking the ball against the referee.
Yeah.
I can tell you that you were wrong again. The answer was C. He wrestled a mankini-clad pitch invader to the ground.
Well, well, well.
Guys, you're letting me down.
Okay, so you're 0 from 2. After the game, Vickers said, "I'm dumbfounded and speechless. I thought I was doing them a favour. The referee lost the game after that, and he knew he had made a great error."
Mm.
I mean, I feel like he was doing them a favour, right? He was trying to get the game going again.
To be honest, context matters in this case, I guess. Like, it depends on how you wrestle someone to the ground. If you do it like Deco in the last match to be watched, then that's a bit too much.
That'd be a bit extreme. Alright, 0 from 2. Question number 3. In 2006, Javier Mascherano was sent off for Argentina after kicking whom or what? A. Leo Messi. B. A stray dog on the pitch. C. A water boy. Or D, the driver of the motorized stretcher. Wait, who was it again? Mascherano.
Wasn't there like a stray dog on the pitch once with him?
I've seen... could be.
Intuitively, that's how I feel, but I don't have a very strong...
That's my gut.
...memory.
That's my gut feeling as well.
...reconnection about this. Rob?
Yeah?
Are we going to roll with it? Okay, it's the dog.
I don't know what's happened to you guys this week. Oh, 0 for 3.
Oh.
The correct answer is the driver of the motorized stretcher.
That's rough.
Why would you do this?
Because I think the driver was driving too fast, and the Mascherano was like, "I'm going to fall off the stretcher," so he just kicked the driver, and then he got sent off. Question number 4. In 2011, in the fifth tier of Argentinian football, Claypool and Victoriano Arenas have the world record for the most number of red cards. How many red cards did the referee give on that game?
Red cards, okay.
How many red cards? Is there is a rule about games being forfeit.
Yeah, exactly.
Is it four?
Four of each team? Or three of each team?
Maybe the game was forfeited. We don't know that, do we?
Yeah, that's true.
So going to the max...
It could have been to the max, right?
I don't even know whether it's the same like everywhere locally also.
Yeah.
Let's go with 8.
8?
No. To the nearest... If he's going to give us points for the nearest five...
Imagine they get in a fight, you know? There's like...
Oh, like a mass brawl.
And everyone just gets a free lunge at someone. Okay.
Also, if Alex is giving us to like the nearest 5, then it must be a lot, because...
Yeah.
Maybe. Or he's trying to throw us off.
I mean, we had 4 in the match,
which we just watched.
And this was not like... I think there's still room for more red cards easily.
Okay, should we go with 8?
Or 7. 7 or 8.
I like 7.
7.
But if we go 7 to the nearest 5, then we're going down to like
we're going with 7.
Like 7. Okay.
If I were you,
I would rethink that answer.
Right. That's wrong. So you said to the nearest 5.
Yeah.
How many red cards were awarded in that game?
Mm-hmm. I remember subs. Okay, I feel like...
To the nearest 5.
It must be a lot, then.
Yeah. We're not going to fall into this trap again.
Again, we're playing safe.
Let's go with a high number.
Let's
say 0.
Yeah.
0 red cards.
Yeah. The nearest 5, huh? 13?
I feel good about 13.
I feel like it's too low.
I'm going to have to ask.
Then we say 15.
15.
15.
15 is our answer.
So the correct answer is 36.
How does that work?
Everyone and their mother got a red card.
Was it like the coach get a red card as well? That must be. So all 22 players on the pitch and a combination of 14 subs and coaches received red cards for a total of 36.
This is the most red cards ever issued in a senior level football match.
What had happened?
That's because there can't be any more given, right?
There's just a brawl.
Everyone in. That's just ridiculous.
Wow.
Okay, so you're 0 from 4. So I have 1 again this week, but you can salvage a little bit of pride.
How? For what?
Okay. Question number 5. In Sweden, defender Linden Lundqvist, playing in a game between Jana SK's reserves and Persegun SK, was shown a second yellow card. For what? A. Nipple twisting an opponent at a corner. B. Pulling down his shorts, celebrating a goal. C. Farting on the pitch. Or D. Telling the referee he smelled bad.
I'm going to be pleased with any of those.
Yeah, those are all funny.
I think either A or B, though.
Maybe he's got like an underwear sponsorship. Nice way of trying to get his shorts down. Yeah, yeah. I doubt it. In that,
he'd be very cocky.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to go. I'd go with A, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The nipple twist.
Yeah.
It's so funny. I really wanted to be A.
Is that your final answer?
No, but wait. But
I'm leaning towards
farted on the pitch sounds like the most ridiculous.
No, you wouldn't get.
What? How are you going to get punished for farting on the pitch?
I don't know. Maybe that's what we're going to get told. I don't know.
No, not the farting thing.
Okay, we're sticking with A.
A or B, guys? You decide.
I think it's likely to be B.
Go.
But B. I don't, yeah.
Nah, B it is then.
It's really weird.
Okay, B, pulling down his shorts, celebrating a goal.
Yeah, that's funny.
I can tell you is incorrect. The correct answer is C, farting on the pitch.
No way. What a weird referee.
How are you located?
You're outside.
How do you know that it's this particular person that farted? Oh, because he was taking the corner kick?
No, he was farting. But Linden said after the game, it was a strange decision. I can hardly believe it myself. I had a bad stomach. And then the last minute of the match, I farted. Then the referee came over and gave me a yellow card, then a red card.
That's pretty harsh.
Absolutely love it.
So yeah, he was sent off for having a bad stomach. So now you're okay. 0 from 5. Question number 6.
Oh, good. It carries on.
The pain continues.
Yeah, how many questions are there?
The seven.
Okay.
Question number 6. In a Rwandan Premier League game between Mukara Victory and Rayon Sport, Victory striker Musa Kamara had just missed a sitter. He proceeded to do what, to which resulted in a yellow card? A. Hang on the goalpost and bend it. B. Tear the net and eat it. C. Pick up the goalkeeper's water bottle and throw it into the stands. Or D. Placing an object on the goal and reciting a spell.
Whoa.
Eating the net.
Yeah, I think it's eating the net.
I think, yeah.
I don't know. But no, wait. Can you repeat the last one again?
Placing an object on the goal and reciting a spell.
Yes, you do. What was the first one again?
Hang on the goalpost and bend it.
I think a spell would also be pretty funny.
Yeah, last two.
I feel like we didn't go with the most outrageous ones last time. So
yeah, okay. Yeah.
I feel eating the net and
yeah,
and reciting a spell are good shouts. Should we go for the spell? I'd go for the spell.
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah.
Spell it is. I can tell you that you have your first correct answer. You place an object on the goal and recited a spell in witchcraft. So the goalkeeper was absolutely furious, and the number 9 was then booked by the referee. Yet moments later, he headed it home an equaliser. So the witchcraft had actually worked out for him.
Nice.
Need to see this used more.
Need more witchcraft. Okay, question number 7 and the last one. In 1999, whilst playing for Manchester City, Kevin Horlock was sent off for aggressively doing what? A. Shouting at a ball boy to hurry up. B. eating on the pitch, C, walking too aggressively for the referee's liking, or D, spitting repeatedly during a corner?
Okay. Nothing comes to mind. It's like I haven't heard of it before.
No. Spitting, and then what was it?
I don't think it was C. Was what was C again?
Walking.
Yeah, it can't be that, surely.
Would be weird.
Wait,
that's really weird.
For walking
too aggressively for the referee's liking.
Yeah. I feel like that's the weirdest one. I think we should go for that again.
Yeah.
I like your way of thinking. Yeah. I mean, you've got nothing to lose.
Okay, I mean, yeah, yeah.
I just want to will it into truth.
Okay, can you describe how you would walk aggressively enough?
I think I could, right?
No, yeah, I just want to Corbin to like go how describe his walk.
Very stompy. I don't know. Lots of veins in his face from the aggression. I don't know.
I can only picture this like walking towards somebody, right?
Yeah.
In a very aggressive manner.
Yeah. Or maybe like towards the ref and like trying to harass the ref by like in some way.
I can see that playing out actually. Yeah.
See, it helped. At least in our minds, we can see it now. Alex, you have to tell us whether that's actually what happened.
Yeah,
so you're going for the walking?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. I can tell you that you have doubled your correct answers.
Wow.
So you got the last two correct. So it was walking too aggressively. So after the game, he said, I walked fairly quickly to him, maybe. I've got one leg shorter than the other that maybe makes it look like I was being a bit aggressive. I probably had a skinhead at the time, but I certainly wasn't aggressive. I was just going to go and ask him about a foul previously. It's funny now, but it wasn't at the time when I missed a few games because of it.
Yeah.
So no walking too aggressively for the referees.
Yeah, especially if you have a short leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that brings our quiz to a close this week. You got 2 from 5.
7.
2 from 7.
Oh, 2 from 5, that's fine.
Yeah, let's cut out 2 of these questions.
Yeah. You have 2 from 7, so... not the best performance this week.
No.
Fair enough.
So after
good questions. I have to say I like the questions. They were very intriguing.
All right, thank you. I put a lot of time into them.
Most welcome.
All right, that's it for the quiz this week, and now we're going to move forward to discussing the game. So welcome back to the show. In my research for this game, I came across a few interesting phrases which were used to sort of sum up the mayhem which this game included, so I can read a couple of them out. So the first one came from a Guardian match report, which stated, it was a night when a lot of people forgot a lot of things, not least how to behave, but also that the logo of this tournament is time to make friends.
No.
So it's sort of not really in keeping with the theme of the tournament was the game, the sort of brutality.
But who was it at the end who sat right next to Deco, both of them being sent off? Was it...
Van Bronckhorst.
Bronckhorst, right?
Yeah.
I felt they looked like friends, to be honest.
Yeah.
I felt like they were united by the rage against the referee.
Yeah. Which I kind of don't really, like, get. Well, I think it's quite interesting if we try and discuss this game, because I do remember at the time and afterwards the referee getting so much flack for how he behaved. It's like, this sort of like... this image sort of comes into people's mind of sort of the overly strict sort of teacher referee who just wanted to get his cards out and just like, you know, show that he was in charge rather than letting the game flow. But I mean, I don't know what he was
supposed to do. We're getting ahead of ourselves, right? Let's first underline this picture by more quotes, I guess.
During the game, Vigo was kind of lucky to avoid being sent off for headbutting Boularus. But after the game, Scolari said, Jesus Christ may be able to turn the other cheek, but Luis Vigo isn't Jesus Christ.
Yes. That's a great idea.
So it's kind of odd. Also, this game the teams didn't really have that much of a rivalry or sort of a set that this was coming, this brutality was coming. Like, they hadn't really built up, there wasn't sort of tensions built up between the teams beforehand. Or, I mean, they played at Euro 2004, but there had been kind of no signs of the flashpoints which was to come. The Netherlands had been drawn in the group of death before this and had come second behind Argentina and knocked out Ivory Coast and Serbia Montenegro, whereas Portugal had not been as quite as convincing as the Netherlands had They've gone through ahead of Iran and Angola. They finished top of their group to with Mexico finishing second. So the action starts, and it's within 2 minutes you have the first flash point, right? The first yellow card is out for the foul by Van Bommel on Ronaldo, and it is like it sets the tone that they're going to target Ronaldo as much as possible, right?
Yeah, definitely. They were after him. But in general, like the start of the match, it was very dynamic, right? Yeah. Netherlands were going for him. The ball went up and down the pitch. So it was a good watch, especially the first 15 minutes.
Yeah.
But it also, started the scenery for what would later unravel. The minute, then, Khalid Boularouz goes after Ronaldo again.
And it this time, with like into his thigh. And
and he does this roundhouse kick. Right, and then smashes his feet into like the thighs of Ronaldo.
Yeah,
it's really the finisher, right? You know, he never really returns back after that.
Ronaldo?
No, he does not.
His
career.
That was your end to that one.
Ronaldo?
CR who?
Yeah, exactly. But it puts him out of this game, right? He goes off, I'm not sure in what minute he goes. Yeah,
a couple of minutes later, but he gets substituted.
He's on for like another 15.
But I think the first one, so Van Bommel's is sort of like borderline, whether it's a yellow card kind of thing.
Yeah, that's true.
And usually you would see maybe at the beginning of the match, you get away with that kind of a foul.
But we're still okay to give a
yellow. But still was okay to give a yellow for that one.
Yeah.
And then Boularouz, the 7 minutes, is brutal.
Mm-hmm.
And then Manish, that's the first, the first two yellow cards. And then Manish gets booked in the 20th minute, which is not, it's kind of a weak one, but.
It's not a weak one. It was a dive from Bommel, right?
It
shouldn't have been a yellow card.
No, that was
So that was a clear, that was like the first clear mistake by the referee. But still one which, can happen from time to time.
Yeah, for sure. But then Manish scores like 2 minutes later after that, which is a really, really nice goal.
A beautiful piece of football. Yeah. Rob, you were most excited about, do you want to?
I loved it. Yeah, everything about it. Really nice little bit of build up.
Yeah,
and then just that touch he takes from the last defender before he puts the shot in. Mm-hmm. Really, really nice.
Yeah, it goes out to the side to Deco first, right? And then he brings it in, and I think it's Pauletta who then manages to somehow, being surrounded by lots of Holland defenders, to lay it back to Manish, and then he just fire blasts in.
Yeah, and it's right in the top corner. So it's like Van der Sar has no chance. Because Van der Sar has a pretty decent game, right? He makes a couple really good saves.
Very
Some nice reaction ones and more reaching, lunging ones as well.
So then the next yellow card after half an hour is Castinha's getting this first one. And it's like a really late challenge, right? It's like he's not really... It's pretty poor. But then he's the one who gets the red card before half time, and it's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
They're like, what is he? Like, you've already got a yellow card like 15 minutes earlier.
Yeah, and that one was kind of brutal play, way too late. He charges in, and then it's kind of first yellow card, and then you take it back a little, enjoy your time on the pitch. But then, like 1 minute in extra time, he somehow just jumps towards the ball and gets
it. Yeah, because his hand is like above his head, right?
It's genuinely puzzling to me how one would end up with your hand like there.
Because it's also near his foot, where it's like it's near his leg.
Because also we watched it, and then we sort of like the play plays on, and then the referee blows his whistle a couple of seconds later, and it's like, oh, what's he blowing his whistle for? Because you can't really see it on the video, and then it goes back and you see the replay, and it's like, what? Sorry?
Yeah.
What?
Why? Why would you do this? So unnecessary.
Yeah. And then, and also at this point, because I think in the first half, the Netherlands have been probably the better team. Like, they look like they're more likely to create chances.
Yeah.
And especially, like, Robin is amazing in this match, I feel.
Very
He's, like, everywhere.
All his dribblings and stuff. Yeah, there were lots of little bits and pieces of some football magic there, right?
Yeah.
Like also from Figo, from Deco, from Robin, from Van Persie.
Yeah.
So it was a really, really good match to watch, I guess. Also from that regard. So it was not just physically people fighting it out and getting yellow cards, but also some aesthetically very pleasing plays, I guess.
Yeah, I'm also very kind of direct as well. Like, there's a lot of sort of moving the ball forward a lot quicker and like less slow build-up play, especially from the Dutch.
Yeah.
So like they get it forward through the wings, and like Van Persie on the right and Robin on the left.
Yeah.
They sort of they mesh together quite well. So it also, it's like halftime. There's already been quite a few yellow cards. Portugal are down to 10 men. So you kind of think, okay, if you're watching this now, okay, Portugal are down to 10 men. They've got Netherlands at 45 minutes to at least level it and send it to extra time. But maybe most likely when you're a player up for 45 minutes at this high level, then you think you're going to go on and win the game. And then there's like the first 15 minutes of the second half. There's not too much into it. Like, they're not really creating as much. And then you have another yellow card for Petit after 50 minutes.
Yeah. Which was, this time though, it was kind of like a vanilla tactical foul, right?
Yeah.
Like, in comparison to a lot of stuff that has happened before, this was kind of minor. It was maybe a yellow card.
It
wasn't necessary to.
But also, Van Bommel makes an absolute meal of it. Yeah. Van Bommel is like, he looks, at least from this game, reasonably kind of limited footballer in like what he does. You know, we never see him. He sort of does the short passes and breaks up play, and like that's literally like what he's in there.
Yeah.
It's not exactly like the most sort of like stereotypical what you'd imagine sort of Dutch footballer or especially like midfielder and how he views the game. But you know, he's got a very simple remit of shield the back four, be a nuisance, get the ball back, and also just like break up fouls and also play it short. But then he also, when he does get some of like the payback against him, he's ready to make a meal of it and make sure that the other team get a yellow card. The teams are 11 on 10, and then Boulouz is the one who gets the second yellow card to make it 10 on 10 after like just after an hour.
True. That's when things really start to heat up, I guess, in terms of tempers flaring up between both teams, right?
Yeah, because this one is kind of a weird one, I guess, right?
Yeah.
It's like in the 63rd minute. I would say there could be the benefit of the doubt, because I feel like Boulouz, he touches, or his elbow goes towards Figo's face. I don't know whether it actually touches.
Figo goes down.
Really. Yeah, Figo also is lucky to avoid being sent off for the kind of almost headbutt, which he just gets the yellow card.
Which just happened before, exactly. We forgot about that one. Yeah.
There's also like, I can't remember, in like the 42nd minute, there's like almost like a kung fu kick on Robin in the in the box. I would say it would have been a penalty, but I didn't even get a foul, if I remember.
It was after the whistle was blown, wasn't it?
Kite has been penalised for a foul on the defender in the box, and the ball sort of bounces in the middle, and Robin goes for it, and then the defender... I can't remember who it was.
But you just see the boot right by his head.
Kung fu smashes him, and then Robin is sort of like sitting on the ground, sort of like almost dazed.
In shock.
Like,
yeah.
What has just happened? Like, it's like, do I not at least get a penalty? But like, obviously, the whistle's gone for the foul against Coyne.
I guess the point we're trying to make is that there were a lot of
fouls. It was really hard to keep up.
Action going on.
Also,
so it was hard to keep up with it, yeah.
And didn't Castinga also, there was one in like the 39th minute where the ref just wasn't looking. He could have been sent off for a second yellow before he did the handball.
Mm.
So the ref just completely misses.
Well, I think also with the Figo yellow card, the referee doesn't really see it, so that's why he just gives him a yellow.
Yeah.
So he's just like, okay.
Yeah, it would have been a clear red.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Because like, at least up to like maybe an hour or just like 65 minutes, the game has had a bit of shape or like has looked like a proper football match. But from like 65 to 90, it is just
chaos.
Yeah, like it's really hard to even to like keep account of like, so who's playing who, like where is like, what's the position of like how many players are on each team?
Yeah.
What position is what position is each player playing? It's just a mess of like foul every 2 minutes, or like somebody will get a foul, or like, and then the Portugal player will sort of stay down for a couple of minutes and try to like wind down the clock or get another player sent off and stuff.
Yeah,
and I think as Rob wanted to point out, right, this started with a 73rd minute with Deco.
Well, yeah, you had the unwritten rule of returning the ball after the drop ball.
Yeah,
I think that was a real turning point in terms of the level of chaos in the game.
Yeah, because there was an interception and Holland was supposed, at least from football etiquette, to give the ball back to Portugal. But then they don't do this, and Deco addresses this kind of misconduct with a stunning foul where he just like comes steaming
some street justice
and kicks down Huitinga. Yeah, which is ridiculous. And after this,
it is my favorite yellow card of the match, I think.
Definitely. And
it's
after this, they're like
point,
5 minutes where foul after foul happens and the match escalates, and there are five more yellow cards that are given within this time frame.
And one of mean these means actually that Deco is sent off with this yellow second yellow card, and this is also the period that I meant with a wild frenzy.
Yeah. There's like too many. Like Ricardo gets a yellow card for time wasting.
Yeah.
The goalkeeper. There's just like everyone jumping in and stuff, and then okay, so now at the Van der Vaart gets a yellow card as well, and it's just so you're left with the Netherlands being 10 and Portugal having 9 players on the pitch.
And at this point it was interesting because also the commentators were now siding against the referee, and they were arguing that he lost control over the match, he should have handled this differently. But to be honest, like from my perspective, I don't see how this all can be blamed on the referee, to be honest.
Yeah, but I mean, the referee must have played a role somehow in it, right? Because you don't see this kind of thing happening very often or ever in another sort of high-level competitive match. So, I mean, I was just kind of thinking, right, what could you have done to try and avoid it? And, like, you do see sometimes in these big games that referee will kind of let more things go than usual just to sort of keep a flow or some kind of thing. Or
but I mean, remember, we saw Cristiano Ronaldo
kicked off the game,
and so at one point as a referee you have to decide that we take the healthiness of our of the players above like keeping the cards in your pocket, I guess, right?
But I guess I don't remember if we ever saw him like kind of call over the captains and ask them to like calm things down. That could have been something, I guess. Like you can see that happening with refs. They kind of bring the moment and go like, alright, your team's being a bit too rough, like you better watch out or I'm gonna have to give you yellow cards, and that kind of attitude may have helped. But
no, I agree,
it may
with
have happened
one,
off screen, it may have done it, but we just didn't see a very obvious moment of it.
Yeah, better communication, definitely.
Yeah.
What do you think is some responsibility is on the coaches, right? So I think it was pretty clear that Netherlands had this strategy from the start of the game to target Ronaldo.
Yeah, you know?
Freak him out.
Yeah. So.
I mean, it worked. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In a sense, but yeah, it's not the kind of football I like
to watch. I mean, Scolari was very upset about the Ronaldo thing, and then from that point was very, very upset about the referee. And also...
Yeah. Do you guys remember, I think it was with Corbyn, when we talked about the limits of what is okay... within the rules of football to actually make your team win. And I think at the end we'd kind of drew the line at when some player actually might get hurt or something.
And sort of violence and stuff.
Then that's something that you should not use in order to get an advantage.
Yeah.
I think this was the case with the Ronaldo incident, right?
Yeah.
Was just way too much.
Yeah. It was violent conduct, basically. Like, it goes beyond tactical fouls to break up play and just like, let's hurt him. Yeah, it's not nice to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and I guess then this leaves us with a 95th minute with Van Bronckhorst, who then gets the last yellow card of the game.
Yeah, it definitely is another yellow card, so he just trips up another player as he's trying to dribble out, and also like frustrated that they're about to lose the game.
Yeah.
But I have to say, it was so entertaining, was it not?
Yeah, I liked the time wasting. I also liked when they were trying to sub Figo and decided to change who they're going to sub him for. So he does the whole taking the armband off, giving it to someone else, like taking like 3 minutes just to do all that, and then turns out he's not being subbed. It's like, that's like a lovely chunk of time, and they sub him again, like actually for someone else in like 2 minutes after that.
Yeah.
But that was a good bit of tactics, I'd say. I'm not sure if they're doing it on purpose. They really seemed like they were changing their mind, like, no, stay on the pitch, stay on the pitch.
I think the Portuguese team were quite
but to return,
time wasting.
But to return to the discussion that we had earlier, you think this would be okay? This would be kind of
time wasting
to this degree, right? It was not just a player lying on the ground, but it was like, okay, we substitute you, and then you are kind of off the pitch, and then go back.
Yeah.
And this was took up like 5 minutes off the clock.
I think that's when the referee's responsibility steps in, just to make sure that if you have to add 8-10 minutes on the end of a half, if that's what's happening, then they just have to do that. But obviously, usually you just see them going with like 5 or 6, even if it should be much longer for time wasting, because the ball can be out of play for a long time in some of these like high tension matches.
There was a period I think from like maybe 79 to like 84 where the ball was literally like not. I think Ricardo got, so Dirk Kuyt got played clean through, and he fluffed the chance and sort of got a little bit of a kick on Ricardo.
Yeah.
And then Ricardo did spend about 3 or 4 minutes on the ground.
Yeah.
I think he was the main sort of Portuguese culprit or main instigator of their sort of the time wasting.
Yeah, because we had the comparison once in our podcast with Wembley, right? Where you could see that it was more of a purist idea of football, where you keep playing, right? No matter what happens, you just back on the pitch, you do the throw in really quickly, and all of this. And when you compare it to the football that is played more recently, yeah, there's a shift in the way these kind of things are played out. Right?
Yeah. You should listen to that podcast just to know for sure what we're discussing. But there was a bit in the 1966 World Cup final where in the 90th minute, the English player plays it back to the goalkeeper, and the goalkeeper takes like 3 bounces, right? It's like 5 or 6 seconds, and then you hear the crowd booing. They're like, this isn't football.
This is too much.
Yeah.
the audacity
of this gentleman. Okay, so yeah, the game ends with Portugal sneaking through, and then after the game, obviously the referee got a lot of criticism, and then our old friend Sepp Blatter had this to say.
This was a lovely quote. I was so hoping you'd bring it up.
It's just, I mean, in some ways you're glad Sepp Blatter is not in football for his terrible corruption and sort of what he did to the game, but then also you do miss the beautiful quotes. So he had to say, "I consider the referee was not at the same level as the participants, the players. I think there could have been a yellow card for the referee. This was a game of emotion, with exceptional drama in the last instant, with a deserved winner. But it was a great show with intervention by the referee that was not consistent and had a lack of fair play by some players." So after this criticism of the referee, Sepp Blatter got criticism of his comments. So he tried to walk them back a couple of days later.
He backpedaled.
So he said, "I would just like to say that I regret what has happened. I regret what was said about the referee's actions in the match between Portugal and Netherlands." But then the referee was, he was sent home from the tournament. He didn't referee again in the...
That's right.
No, he never did. But also because I think he got too old to actually be an official FIFA referee after that one. So it was...
In between the last 16 and the quarterfinals.
No, but after after the tournament. That's what I mean. That's why he never returned.
What a way to go out, though.
Yeah, but that's what I see. That's what I thought, because he knew this would be his last tournament. So maybe he was like, I want to enter the football annals, right?
Yeah.
One time in the spotlight, you know. Had he just done this like everyone else would have,
even off last 16 game.
Exactly. Now we do remember his name,
and we watched it.
Which is Valentin Ivanov. I don't know whether we reset this on the
podcast. No, we haven't, but yeah. The Russian.
Here we go. Valentin Ivanov, this goes out to you.
This moment in the sun. So, yeah, and then this was not the end also of the bad temper in this tournament, because also after the penalty shootout between Argentina and Germany in the quarters,
yes,
there was a big brawl. And then also famously in the final, you have Zidane's headbutt against Materazzi.
Yeah.
So that maybe he was trying to, we were saying that he was trying to do a better example of the Figo headbutt from this game.
Yeah, that's what we thought. No, it's true. It's like an unprecedented number of cards were given during this tournament.
So. But then also it was remembered as a lot better sort of quality tournament, as in that 2006 World Cup is, I think, remembered quite fondly as being quite attacking and open. And then we definitely saw that from this game.
Although it was a low goal per match count in the tournament.
Yeah,
it was quite low.
Because people always complain about the 2010 World Cup, like the South Africa one, that it was pretty poor quality.
Also,
the ball's fault, so.
Yeah. My perspective is kind of tilted. It's biased because Germany was actually, they were playing like super beautiful football at their World Cup.
Mm.
Winning like with a large margin and stuff, most of the matches. So that was nice. But yeah, in general. Agreed.
Mm.
Any last words, guys?
I don't know. Do you guys think that the Netherlands could have done, or what do you think they should have done in order to?
I think they should have brought on Van Nistelrooy.
Yeah, the commentators mentioned him quite a lot, and we just
saw literally from the 5th minute, though. Why
is he not on the pitch?
Yeah, bring on Van Nistelrooy.
The only thing we saw was when he hugged someone who got sent off. It was a nice little embrace, and that's the closest he came to action on the pitch, I think.
Yeah, because at the end they were just pumping it long up to Van Henegor of Hesselink, who was sort of, he was winning the knockdowns, but it was like you're against nine men, so I feel like if you just sort of played it a bit more strategically, then you would find the space to
Or bring in Van Nistelrooy, because that's what he's good at, right?
I think he would have scored the kite chance. He probably would have done better.
Might be,
that's true.
But you were saying there was a talk of a disagreement between Van Nistelrooy.
Well, I think so. After the group stage, Van Basten was critical in the press of Van Nistelrooy's performance in the group games because he'd been starting, and then I think he hadn't spoken to Van Nistelrooy in person about these comments, but he'd spoken to the press, and apparently they had a conversation afterwards where things may have got a bit heated, so that's why Van Nistelrooy got stuck to the bench. But I mean, it wouldn't be a Dutch tournament without some infighting, right? So I think that's everything we want to cover with this game. Any sort of final words on the Battle of Nuremberg, Leon?
No, I loved the quiz today. That was fantastic. And the match also. If you haven't seen it in a while, go watch it.
Or at least watch the highlights.
Yeah, watch the highlights. But also like the beautiful moments in between, right? Not just the cards, also the magic.
I feel like if you're just watching the cards, that's taking you beyond highlights, and that's basically just watching the whole match, isn't it?
Case in point.
How you fit them all in. But thanks again for joining us, Colbin and Rob.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, it was very good. Good game.
All right, and remember to like and subscribe to the podcast or follow us on Twitter and Facebook. And we'll join you again soon.
Bye-bye.
See you soon.
Podcast Network.